Christian greetings this morning to you. Because he is alive, we can be alive spiritually too. This morning, my phone made a little beep, and I thought, oh, it's just news coming in. But I looked, and here one of my employees said, text, Happy Easter. And he's not a Mennonite. And I text back, he is alive forevermore. And thankfully this morning, it's more than just today, but it can be every day of the year that he is alive forevermore. He will not die. He completed the work on Calvary and broke the bars of sin and death, and he's alive today. I'd like to look over into Luke, if you want to follow along with us. Luke, the 4th chapter. And this is just after that Jesus was tempted severely of the devil and questioned time and time again, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. And then I'd like to start in Luke, the 4th chapter, and verse 14, just after his temptation. Verse 14. Let's just bow our heads before we begin to read. Dear Father, we're so thankful this morning for Jesus, for thine only begotten Son. We're so thankful that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that we might have life and that we would not have to perish, but that we could have everlasting life. And we pray today, Lord, that thou will help us to take it to heart what Jesus has done for us, and then realize that absolutely no sacrifice is too much as we give her all to him. Help us to hold nothing back, Lord, but to yield ourselves as vessels that are acceptable to him and for the Master's use. We just ask this morning that thou will bless the scripture to our heart and help us, Lord, that we might take it as from the very words of Jesus. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, No prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sephrata, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And I just cannot hardly grasp how things switched around so fast from what we just read to the next verse. And it says, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill where on their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. He came down to Capernaum in the city of Galilee and taught them on the Sabbath day, and they were astonished at his power for his word, at his doctrine, for his word was with power. What would it have been like to have been there in that synagogue and to listen to the gracious words of Jesus? And how would it have affected you and me? I was in a synagogue up in Ohio, and they did just this. We went in, especially on the day that they were celebrating the victory of Esther over Haman. And the young fellows would come up front, and they would have their Hebrew Bibles, and they would read a passage of this scripture about Haman. In Hebrew, it's Haman. And they would read about Haman. And as they read, when they came to the place and said the word Haman, everybody in the whole congregation would make all kinds of noise. The big rabbi up on the platform, he'd stomp the platform. He just stomped and stomped and stomped, and they beat. They even had these little noisemakers that they have for Halloween that have a thing sticking out, and you whirl them, and they will rattle and make all kinds of racket. When you came into the synagogue, they passed them out to everybody. And when you come to Haman, saw them thing, everybody was doing this. The big rabbi was stomping up on the platform, and their hatred just shone out of their eyes and out of everything, and they're ferociously when they whirled those little things. They hated Haman. They hated him with all their hearts. And then when everything would calm down, then the young man would continue reading in his Hebrew the story of Haman and Esther come to the kingdom for such a time as this. But I don't really think it was that way when Jesus got up, when he was in the synagogue and they handed to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he began to read about the Spirit of the Lord, that he was come upon him and he had anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. And I don't believe he just skimmed over this. I don't believe he just read it fast. I don't believe he just... But I think that as he said it, the words sank deep into the people's heart. That the Spirit of the Lord had anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. The ones that were beggarly, not just physically, but spiritually. Had nothing, had no hope of eternal life. But the gospel was to be preached to the rich and to the poor. And he said to the poor here from Isaiah. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. And I just couldn't help but think of the times when Jesus was with different ones at different times, and he was there to do his Father's will. His meat was to do the Father's will. Does anyone know the scripture without looking? Do you know I'll just put it this way, the shortest scripture in the Bible? Pardon? Well, it's in one of the Gospels. The shortest verse, not chapter. I said chapter. Shortest verse. And what was it? Two words. Jesus wept. And you know where that's found? Okay, you got it. And I don't believe Jesus just preached about compassion, but I believe he showed it. I believe he showed it. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him to do this, to go to the poor, to go to the brokenhearted, to go to those that were captives, those that were bound, those that were in prison spiritually. And now the one that he loved, Lazarus, and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, in that 11th chapter of John. John was sick, and word was sent to him. Lazarus was sick, and word was sent to Jesus that he was sick and that Jesus would come and intervene. They'd send Jesus, heal many people. And now his friend was sick. Surely Jesus will come. But Jesus had a higher calling to fulfill here. And they probably couldn't understand. Jesus didn't seem to come. And Lazarus actually passed away, and Jesus hadn't even come. He didn't make his hospital call. He didn't go to their home. And yet the will of the Lord was higher than what they could understand. And in this scripture, Jesus was saying, well, now let us go. And in verse 11, it says here, these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now Jesus is putting into practice about his preaching to the brokenhearted. And we've got some brokenhearted sisters, Mary and Martha. They were brokenhearted. They were weeping. They were crushed. Their brother was dead. And they thought that they had all kinds of hope because Jesus was the one that was the healer. He was the one that went out. And as they brought them to him at times, he would heal every one of them. And yet the message was sent and he didn't come. Jesus said in verse 14, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And Thomas, I think he's more like some of us than what we'd like to admit. I mentioned about Thomas a couple Sundays ago. And Brother David informed me that Thomas was one of his favorite disciples. And, you can see yourself a lot through some of these disciples. But listen to what Thomas said. Let us all go that we may die with him. Let's just go die. Let's just all go that we may die with him. He in his own way, let's go with Jesus. And that was good. And yet he just couldn't see any hope. It looked like that there was nothing there. We'll just all go die with him. But then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. And Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Now, here was two young ladies that seemed like they had a different temperament. Martha was right up and around, and even Jesus said, cumbered with many things, taking care of being hospitable, taking care of Jesus when he was there. Mary is the one that sat at Jesus' feet. And then the message, you know, came that Jesus was here, and as soon as Martha heard about it, that he was coming, she went to meet him. She got right up. She went to him. And Mary, evidently this is, she sat, she pondered maybe, she was thinking of these things and what has happened. Her grief was overwhelming. I believe it was for Martha too, but they expressed it in different ways. But I know that even, well, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. That was the only thing that she was thinking about. If Jesus would have just come, he's one of your best friends. Why didn't you come? If you would have come, he would not have died. And verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She said quite a piece when she said that, but she didn't hardly understand what she was saying, I don't think. Here was a broken-hearted woman with a broken-hearted sister, and Jesus was broken-hearted too for them as he realized that they did not comprehend. Folks, this morning, I think that's for us. If Jesus was standing right here this morning and saying that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to preach to the poor, to the brokenhearted, I think it includes every one of us. If we're poor in spirit, however we're poor, if we're brokenhearted, if we're bound by Satan, if you're captive of the devil, he came to set you free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. And right here he says, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Well, Martha got a hold of that and she said, no, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her and tried to bring it closer where she could understand it, I believe. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And if Jesus would say that to you this morning, do you really grasp it? Do you believe it? Not just with head knowledge, but from your heart, that whosoever believeth on him, though he were dead, that he shall live. And the one that whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Have we got that hope that reaches beyond these earthly afflictions and even death in this situation and gets a hold of the hope that reaches beyond life? And some of us are closer to eternity than what we may know, and reaches beyond life and gets across the river of death and right on out into the celestial city to everlasting life, and holds on to that. Believest thou this? That's for us today. Shall never die. And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. This is wonderful. You're the anointed one. You're the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Not just a great prophet, not just a great speaker, not just a great example. And you could say he was probably all of those things. But the important thing that he was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. She tells her to come. He's here. Come. She wants something to get done. You've seen a lot of our people are like that. Let's do something. Let's get it done. Let's do it now. And then some people are more pensive, more deliberate and careful, and they carefully do things. They're a little more slow and do it, but when they get it done, it's done right. There's all these good attributes, these things that can be put together for the glory of God. So she called for Mary. The Master has come and has called for thee. And as soon as she heard that Jesus, that she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet into the town, but in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. She was just what she was. She loved Jesus, and she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And this was affecting Jesus. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And what would it have been like for us to have seen Jesus? Like the next verse said, and Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He could see their brokenness. He could see their broken hearts. And he was there to help them. And he had something for them much greater than they could even comprehend. Some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. I had to think yesterday. I saw, some of you may have seen it, it was on the news, and I didn't even remember where in the world it was, but there were people that were actually allowing themselves to be nailed to wooden crosses with real nails and set up, and it had rows of them there, to try to feel what Jesus went through when he was on the cross. And it showed a picture of one man particularly. But Jesus didn't have what they had. There were big nails, one nail in each hand, and their feet was nailed down too. And their face was in contortions and of the pain that they were going through. And yet they weren't just hung there by the nails. They'd sort of roped their arms up there to sort of help support them, where they wouldn't be hanging down on those nails, tearing and ripping at the flesh. And their faces were full of contortions. It showed them there. But I don't think those people had anything close to what Jesus had when he went to the cross. His heart was broken for the lost, for the wicked, for the brokenhearted, for the poor, for the bound, for the captives. And he was suffering the load of the sins of the world. And these nails, they hurt the body, they hurt the physical, but they didn't hurt anything like what was hurting his heart. That he was giving everything for humanity, and a lot of humanity would just simply reject it and trample over his blood and count it as unclean thing. That no doubt crushed the very heart of Jesus, and the awful anger of an almighty God that gave his only begotten Son will finally be unleashed upon those that have rejected Jesus. Now, if you notice right quickly here, they came to the mouth of the cave, and in verse 29, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Saith I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Sometimes I wonder if our little, hopefully we got a little faith, but sometimes our unbelief can hamper the glory of God. Lord, it just can't be. I don't see any hope for him. He's been so bad. She's been so wicked. They've been this way and they've been this. But Jesus saw precious souls that were bound by the powers of Satan, that if they could only see and grasp the power of God, they too could come to the foot of the cross. If they could only believe. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Not a long prayer, was it? But it was real specific. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with great clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. You'd think that everybody would be happy. But there were some disgruntled ones said, he's going to turn the world upside down. If we don't get rid of him, let's kill Lazarus. Let's kill him. Let's get rid of him. That's the devil's crowd that are on the devil's side. But there were those that saw and believed that this was Jesus. This was the Christ. And we serve a risen Savior today. He's as powerful today as he ever was. And all of our needs are little in his sight. We just need to come to him and let him do it in his time, his way. Let's kneel in prayer.